We're going to continue in our Matters of the Mind series. Has anybody been enjoying the Matters of the Mind series? Has anybody been enjoying that? We talked greatly about depression the last couple of weeks. If you go online at destinychurchwnc.com, we are editing those and enhancing those for audio and sound quality, and we put those online. Amen. And you can go and get those past messages. I highly recommend the one, the past few series are good, but how many of you know depression is a real thing? Come on, it's not just something that's just, well, that's just the world, that's what they deal with. No, how many of you know believers? There's people in Christ who have dealt with depression, amen, and dealt with sadness and things in their life. How many of you know we don't need to be lifted up in spiritual pride, right? Because we're just faith people and we don't ever have issues, right? Wrong. But how many of you know when you identify more with who you are in Christ Jesus and his provision and his ability working in you, how many of you know you have the power to overcome any depression, any circumstances, any sadness? Come on. Remember the scripture that greater is he, what? That's living in me than he that is what? In the world. Amen. Paul said, it's not I who live, but the Zoe, Christ, the life, the DNA of God. Come on. That nature and ability living in me. And so we talked about the last few Sundays, you know, just on depression and different things that that kind of hit us sometimes. But how do you know a practical application of God's word puts you in good remembrance? Amen. And then we do what James says to do. Not just be hearers of the word, but what? Doers of the word. And James said it like this. He says, the doer of the word is the one who is what? Blessed. Amen. How many of you know we could hear and hear and hear? Well, you say, well, no, that's Romans 10:17. No, Romans 10:17 says faith comes by a rhema word. Faith comes by hearing. That's rhema. And hearing by the word of God. That's revelation. And when the rhema, that spoken word and that revelation comes to you, amen, you receive that and you're a doer of that word. Amen. Amen. So this morning, we're going to continue on speaking on, if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about winning inward battles. Winning inward battles. Amen. So if you got your pens, you got your notes, you got everything, let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just thank you for the word this morning. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for your utterance through us this morning. Lord, it will not be just another word of just, you know, words. It would be a powerful word spoken truly to the hearts of your people. And we thank you for this word. We thank you for revelation and understanding and a greater depth today. And we thank you for all that you're doing. Come on, church. All, say all that it is doing. Come on, all things he is doing. Say it again. Come on, all things you're doing, Lord, in our life today and the lives of those that will be affected through this series. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, if you're taking notes, we're going to talk about, again, our series, Matters of the Mind. Last week, we talked about hopelessness, again, to wholeness. We talked a little bit about depression. Depression is real. This week, we're going to talk again about winning the inward battle. See, many times there's an internal war going on. How many know there's a war sometimes that goes on and rages in your thought life? Amen. So here's the thing. You've heard me say this before. We need to think about what we think about. And you've heard me say this before, that if there's anything we are to doubt, we are to doubt doubt. Come on, don't doubt God. Come on, when thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, Ephesians chapter 6 talks about fiery darts. But before that, we talk about in Ephesians 6, we've taught on a whole series on the armor of God. And we teach so heavily on that because it's important that you know that you've already won through Christ Jesus. Revelations 12:11 says this, for we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of our testimony. And then he went on to say something like this, and he even says, and we love not our lives even unto death. So we need in this latter days to be passionate about the calling, the giftings, and the ability that God has placed on our life. Amen. And when you expose the enemy to your passion for the things of God, how many of you know you begin to move past these issues of the mind that seem to bog us down? They're matters that really, really hold us down in our thought life. And so in Ephesians 6, we see the fiery darts are thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. We looked at an example before in Matthew chapter 4. When Satan came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, three times he said, if. And Jesus said in context to Matthew chapter 4, he said, I am. Come on. How many of you know that God is always going to make you, come on, and help you and show you and lead you and guide you, come on, into all truth? That's the ministry of the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. He's going to show you things to come. He's going to help you, right, Caleb? He's going to come and lead you and guide you. Even a 10-year-old little boy that God will help. Come on, parents. Come on. Amen. And so many times there's an internal war. Nobody sees it, or we think so. How many of you know there are those that are good people in the body of Christ that care for you? They're brothers and sisters who love you. So these thoughts can be very real, just like they came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. And it is Satan, the tempter. And how many of you know there's many names for Satan? Deceiver, liar, tempter. Come on. He comes as an angel of light. He comes to believers trying to speak 99% truth and 1% error. How many of you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? There's error in the enemy. He came against God and said, I will exalt my throne above what? The throne of God. We've seen the Father. There was a war. How many of you know he lost? He was cast out of heaven. In Matthew 4, he came against the Son of God. Come on. Matthew chapter 4. If you are the Son of God, how many of you know? He went away. He was defeated. But the Bible says he went away for an appointed time. How many of you know he came at the disciples? He came at the Apostle Paul. Come on. He came at other believers. What do you mean he came at? He came with thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. Those fiery darts in Ephesians 6. By the way, we talked about those darts and those darts in the natural. When the enemy went to fire, there's different types of warfare and different types of dart. How many know some of these darts were loaded with a fiery chemical on the inside of the bamboo dart that lit on fire by the tip and shot from an arrow when it hit its target would explode? So it's not just a shot, it's a fiery explosion. And this is what the enemy comes to your soul, right? Satan comes to our soul to trip us up. And so if anybody needs to be tripped up, it needs to be him, not God's people. Amen. And though you may have a season where you may be weary, you go through some things, how many of you know the Bible talks about that we need brothers and sisters in Christ? We do life together. We're not to do life by ourselves. How many? There's a minister friend of mine that says this all the time. He said, all you need is what? Four crazy faith friends. Amen. Or more. Amen. How many of you know you can add to that? So it's not just, well, I'm living life alone. Well, Satan works in the shadows. God works in the what? Light. Amen. And so there are discouraging voices from our past. Voices of what? Fear. Voices that encourage and voices that discourage. So if you're taking notes today, we're talking about winning the battle. So I want to make this first statement that we will never accomplish our outward purpose until we win the inward battles. We must win those inward battles. See, the internal struggles are very real. It's good versus evil, right from wrong, feeling like winter. Anybody ever felt winter before? It's cold. It can be dark. The sun doesn't shine much. You're just, you know, you can fall into state of mind and just lay in your chair. And how many of you know sadness can just fall upon you and depression can come upon you? Or you can just get your coat on, get up and get about your day, get dressed, get your PJs and your long johns on, and you get about doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. Amen. There's nothing wrong with comfort, but how many of you know just a simple thing is I don't feel like getting out of bed this morning? How many of you know another thought can come? What are we talking about? Winning the inward battle. See, this message is going to be very practical because this is the thing where people, this is the place where I believe in my heart that people are living right now. Amen. See, we all get we have an enemy. We all get we need to renew our minds. But it's the practical little applications that help us get up and get going, like in this cold weather. You know, you just got to get, nobody wants to get up when it's 20 degrees outside. Everybody wants to get up and get dressed and go in the sunshine. You know, you want the 70, 80 degrees outside. You know what I mean? Some of you in here are like, no, I thrive for the cold. Who is that in here? Who are those that just thrive in the cold? No takers. I have no hands up, Dev. No takers. So voices from our past, voices of fear, voices that encourage, and voices that discourage. Has anybody been around some discouraging voices? Come on. Amen. So we will never accomplish our outward purpose until we win the inward battle. See, feeling like a winner versus feeling like a failure. Have you ever had that from day to day or hour to hour? Amen. How many of you know this? Outward success is the result of our internal victories. Amen. And so Jesus said this scripture right here. If you're taking notes, Luke 6:45, in the New Living Translation, he said, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say, grab this statement, what you say flows from what is in your heart. What you say flows from what's within your heart. Again, so we will never accomplish our outward purpose until we win the inward battles. Number two, the voice. Underline that word voice. The voice we believe will determine the future we experience. How many of you know there's always going to be voices speaking to your soul? Come on, the adversary, the enemy of your soul is going to be speaking to your mind, your will, and your emotions. How many of you know in turn can move on down into your body? Amen. So secondly, again, the voice we believe will determine the future we experience. See, every day we live a life, come on, where different voices can influence us every day. Get around, encouragers are going to tell you, you can do it. Greater is he that's living in thee than he that is in the world. Amen. You're an overcomer. Amen. Praise God. How many know when you hear that, it might take you hearing that a few times before you just grab a hold of that by faith and say, that's exactly what God thinks about me. Amen. And I'm hooking up with that. How many know you ever had this phrase said to you? Well, who do you think you are? You'll never be able to do that. How many know that's another voice that comes to you? Come on, maybe you had a parent or grandparent or relationship or friends that said, who do you think you are living that kind of extravagant life? Come on, let's just pause right there. Who do you think you are that you can live such an extravagant life? Well, Jesus Christ died so I can live an extravagant life for him, by him, in him, through him. Come on, I'm not talking about just money, I'm talking about your peace that surpasses all understanding, that what guards your heart and your mind through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Philippians 4 has a lot to say on what we need to meditate on. See, whose report do you believe? You're gonna read the Bible, God's word, or bad report? How many of you know when we're in the hospital, we got reports about every 20 minutes? Whose report are you gonna believe? Amen. Yes, we know the Bible. Yes, we know the scripture. But you know what? It's nice when you can reach out to brothers and sisters in Christ and come on, and they're reminding you of scripture and covenant rights and privileges, that you're a child of God. And because you practice Malachi 3:10, you get the benefits of Malachi 3:11. Come on. Some of you need to write that down right now. Those are some good scriptures. Amen. Hallelujah. So we must silence the negative voices of our past. Underline that word. To embrace the truth of God in the present. Silence the past, embrace the truth of God's word. Amen. Come on, I'm not who they say I am anymore. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is why Jesus Christ died for me. This is why he shed his blood for me. Amen. Silence the negative voices of our past. Embrace, come on, the truth of God in the present. Anybody remember Tarzan? We talked about this in previous messages. I grew up in Florida. Tarzan was filmed a little bit back in the day in Silver Springs. It's where I live. And how many of you know, many years ago, I was there swimming, and I'm looking up thinking, man, Tarzan, there's not a lot of vines here. Unless they just cleaned them out, you know? And so what's the Tarzan principle? To go forward. Tarzan never reached back. He would swing from vine to vine to vine to vine, moving forward. Come on, moving from the past. Well, when you run into family and people that you know, how many of you know they like to talk about your past a lot? How many of you know you go to family reunions and things like that? How many of you, there's some things of the past that are good? Amen. But there's some things in our mind we just need to move on from. I am not that person anymore. Silence the negative voice. Amen. We need to live up to our destiny and not down to our past. We need to live up to our destiny, not down to our past. It doesn't matter what people say about us. I'm going to live an extravagant life in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm going to live in the peace of God. Come on, when things show up, my body's tired. Come on, I'm going to tap out and worship the Lord and get in the presence of God. And how many know yesterday I practiced last week's message? I gave my body rest. Amen. I slept. I came home, worked hard Saturday morning, got home at 3 p.m., and I slept till about 7:30 and woke up to a steak. Can everybody say amen on that? Amen. We went to do a job, was working with a family member, and the guy tipped us in beef. I mean, you know, when you get 4 New York strips and 4 ribeyes, that's a good day. Amen. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about silence the negativity. And today we're going to look a little bit into the life of King Saul. Saul before king, Saul while king, and just look at some thoughts and some things concerning King Saul. If you're taking notes, we're going to look at 1 Samuel 9 and 10 in context. We're not going to read every scripture, but we're going to draw some truths out this morning. Everybody say truth. How do you know? You'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. Amen. Amen. So here's the context here in the background of 1 Samuel 9 and 10. It says this, that the prophet Samuel, in context, is here to anoint Saul as the very first king of Israel. How many of you know God delivered the children of Israel and he wanted to be their ruler? But they said, give us a what? Give us a man. So God sent what? Samuel to anoint Saul to be king over Israel. Samuel tells him in context here, multiple things are going to happen as a confirmation. And how many of you know when Samuel prophesied, those things came to pass? Amen. Verse 9, we see in context that all these signs were fulfilled that day. So what we see again in context is all 12 tribes of Israel are coming forth to present themselves to the Lord and for the announcement of a new king. Amen. So here's God talking to Samuel the prophet. The prophet's here representing God. You got the elders of the 12 tribes, those that have been chosen. And here's Saul, who has been charged with being king. He's been anointed and called forth. And so here's the big moment that Saul is going to be introduced as king. And guess what, guys? What are we talking about? Matters of the mind. We said we must silence the negative voices of our past, embrace the truth of God in the present. Here's King Saul getting ready to be introduced, and he's nowhere to be found. So we're going to read right here in 1 Samuel 10, 22 through 24. It says this. It says, so they asked the Lord, where is he? And the Lord replied, talking about King Saul, he is hiding among the baggage. So they found him and brought him out and underlined this statement, and he stood head and shoulders above anyone else. He stood head and shoulders above anyone else. Verse 24 says, then Samuel said to all the people, this is the man the Lord has chosen to be king? And he said this, no one in all of Israel is like him. So he's head and shoulders above all the people. And then the statement is made, there is no one in all of Israel that is like him. And all the people shouted what? Long live the king. See, what do we see with Saul called? Come on. The prophet anointing him, calling him to be king. He's in hiding. He's hiding. You think there might be a little bit of insecurity there? When you read the context, we're going to talk about this. And so what do we see? That he was hiding behind the baggage. Saul was hiding behind the baggage. Why was he hiding? See, Saul has all the physical attributes and standout attributes in the natural. Grab that, in the natural. Come on, some of us look at people in the church and you're like, wow, they are just great. Woo, giants. Come on. And then they disappear. We don't ever see them again because they go through something and it's like, well, where are they? I'm not meddling. I'm telling you, this is where we're coming to in the last days, where there will be a separation of the sheep and goats. Amen. Wheat and tares. Come on. And it's our responsibility as believers to help people find their way back to the kingdom, to the king, not to a building. I love this building. Not to the building. not to just the pastors, to bring them back into relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why we're talking about matters of the mind. So that when people hide, as Saul did, we go and find them. Just like Samuel said, hey man, come on, get out here. The people are here. You're getting ready to be anointed. Let's go. There was some insecurity. See, he had everything going for him in the natural. He was listening, Saul was listening to contradictory voices to the plan and purpose of God. Underline that statement. To the plan and purpose of God that would ultimately prove to be his what? Downfall. We're going to look at this. See, he was never able to overcome the emotional baggage, and it ultimately derailed the plan of God for King Saul's life. Amen. So God saw something in Saul that he didn't see in himself. And that's where sometimes we need to renew our mind, not sometimes, let's say all the time, we need to renew our mind when God speaks, come on, to us in our prayer times, and he sees your giftings, your ability, the calling, and those things that he's placed on you, everything that he has given you. Come on, he is what? He saw something in you. There's a place that you're called to that other women are not going to be able to call themselves because God has anointed you to be there. There's a place where you as a man of God are called to be. And God has called you to a place, and he's called you to the place. Amen. A place of peace. And it's to help other men come to this place of peace, supernatural peace. Amen. And so God sees something in all of us. Amen. He wants us to walk in the light of that truth. See, 1 Peter 2:9 says this, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. How does God think about me? You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own what? Possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he has called you what? Out of darkness and into his what? Marvelous light. That's what we're called to be, salt and light. Everybody say that. Say salt and light. Say it again. Say salt and light. When you throw salt on a steak, tell me it doesn't taste good. Amen. You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about your God's very own possession. Out of darkness into light. How many know the light comes on when salt is administered to the steak and it's put into your mouth and you go, Some of you, you're dripping out of your mouth because it's so good, the juices. You understand this? Amen. No matter what temperature. So in the message, actually, in verse 10, 1 Peter 2:9, it says this in verse 10. Once you had what? No identity as a people, now you are what? God's people. Talking about Israel. You had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. The message says this. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of what? Priestly work. Chosen to be a holy people. God's instruments to do his work. And speak out for him, to do his work and speak out for him. To tell others, say that word with me, say to tell others. You ready? To tell others. Say it again, to tell others. Come on, of the night and day difference he made for you. From nothing to something, from rejected to, say this word, accepted. Say it with me, say accepted. No longer rejected, but accepted in the beloved. See, we are not just saved with a ticket to heaven. Come on, all of us in here, we are what? Family. We're family. Ephesians 1:5 says this, if you're taking notes, he said, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do. And you need to underline this statement. And it gave him what? Great pleasure. You gave him great pleasure. What are you talking about? Adopted children. If you've adopted children or been a caretaker of other kids, let me tell you something. Bless you in the name of the Lord. See, adopted children, come on, they take on your name. They take on my name. When you've been adopted, they become an heir to all that you have and all that I have. They sit at my table and your table. They live in my house, in your house. They sleep in your bed. They eat our food and your food. Amen. And they enjoy, say the word all, Say it louder with some passion. All that I have is yours. Come on, we're children of God. No, we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. All that is his is ours. All that is ours is his. There's a covenant. What do you say? I'm saying under the adopted child inheritance law, adoptees had the same legal rights to their adoptive parents' inheritance and assets, natural or biological, children. And here's something to think about. Jesus is God's biological son, and we have the same rights and privileges, get this, as our big brother has. Come on. The same rights and privileges as our big brother has. Come on, we look at Jesus and we go, woo! Well, you need to see yourself there. Come on, amen. So this is even true with adoptive parents. They die without making a will. You still inherit from the parent as a child. Amen. So the second battle we face is we wrestle with this thing called insecurity. Insecurity. King Saul wrestled with insecurity. We're going to look right here in the scripture in 1 Samuel 18, 7 through 9. What are we going to see? We're going to see where David routs the Philistines. He kills Goliath, and he goes after the Philistines. You know what the word rout means? It means it's total victory, total domination. 1 Samuel 18, 7 through 9 says this. This was their song. Saul had killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Now, what are we seeing here? We're seeing King Saul anointed. Here's David coming up. There's a great victory because he came with cheese and with food and bread. Listen to this. He's sent by his father, Jesse. He was out in the fields working. He had no need to hang out in the father's house because he was out in the field tending to what? The sheep. He killed a lion and a bear. He's had great practice, and he shows up. And then one of his own brothers persecute him and says, man, you're just here to see the war, David. You just came to see blood and battle. And why David is going on, he's hearing an uncircumcised, no covenant, grab that word, Philistine, coming against, come on, berating mental warfare. Sometimes we read through these contexts of scripture, we don't realize the mental warfare that was transpiring, the type of warfare that cripples you to your bed. Come on, it tells you that none of your friends love you and everybody's walked away from you. And God said, no, 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 no. And friends who are lovers of Jesus and full of great faith and the Holy Ghost call you up and say, that's not true. Get up out of the bed. And you go, no. How many of you know penetrating, soulish, thoughts that are on fire from hell? Your adversary. And here's Satan, come on, working through his own brother, flesh, carnality, saying, you just came to see the war. So David hears this no covenant giant, 9'9", come on, big guy. He said, you come to me with a sword and a spear. Remember this? But I come unto you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Come on. The armies present whom you have defied this day. And I'm going to come at you and I'm going to take your head from you. Come on. And you will, come on. Your head's going to be taken. That was all needed to be said for me. I got jumping and shouting right there. You know why? Because this is a guy who had a covenant with God. It should show you, and this is even Old Testament scripture, how much the new and better covenant. Come on. Come on. We're always talking about old covenant all the time. We should be living right out of the new, looking back to the old, but living in the new. Say the new. Amen. So there was a lie. The lie was that Saul, come on, David went and took the Philistines. He took Goliath's head. And when they came in, the people shouted. The people shouted. And it made Saul very angry. What's this? He said, they credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king. Ooh. Woo. Come on, does that sound like some insecurity talking right there? Oh, there's another pastor that just came into town to start a church. Can we just go there for a minute? Who cares? What has God called you to do? What is the ministry he's called you to do? There's another evangelist holding meetings. Praise the Lord. Maybe people there will get born again, set free, and be delivered. We're not in competition. See, King Saul is so insecure that he's looking at another man's ministry. And yes, by the way, I've dealt with those fiery thoughts in my own head. And when I get before the Lord, you know what he says to me as a minister? Do what I have called you to do. That's why I stay razor, laser focused. And when I lose my cool, I have, you know, some things that God set in my life. He told me many years ago, set counsel around your life. So I'm always looking for people in my life, not people, come on, who want to talk you down and put you down and help you keep steady in your thoughts of insecurity. No, people that'll grab you and say, get up, get working, get moving. What you need to do is you need to get you some spiritual sons and daughters and love on them and pour into them. Come on, you older men and older ladies, grab us young people. We need you. Amen. Well, I'm old and there's nothing for me to do anymore. That is garbage and that is an insecurity we need to get over with. Amen. We need your counsel. We need your voice. Today, in this generation, more than ever, we need spiritual fathers and sons to rise up. Get out of your insecurity. Step back into the plan of God and the call of God for your life. Get rest. Get counsel. Take time to rest. Take a sabbatical. Get back into what God's called you to do. What are we talking about? We're going to wrap here in a minute. Insecurity. Come on, insecurity. See, Saul, his insecurity ultimately led him to pursuing King David to kill him. If you'll read the context here, we're not getting into all that. But how many know Saul eventually pursued King David? And he came to take his life. How many know David, Saul was asleep in a cave, and David honored King Saul so much, even though David had been anointed to be king, the oil had been poured out, it had already been prophesied, Saul had sinned against God, he's insecure, God's removing him, but he's still king, and David still honored him with his words, even though he saw him moving out. How much more in the natural, in our lives here in this generation, we need to honor people. You see them on their way out, but you need to hold your words. Come on, it exposes your insecurity. It's exposed mine. And God said, don't think like that. Don't talk like that. That's insecurity. Deal with that. Because when you stand up and deal with insecurity, I'm getting ahead of myself, you're going to be bolder and bolder and bolder for the kingdom of God. When the Bible says believers shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover, come on, I'm not talking about this physical. I'm talking about cash flow poor people. Lay your hands upon me and fix it all at once. No, what they need is discipleship and stewardship. And they need you to come into their life and show them how to do that. Come on. Amen. That's the touch and wisdom that we need from the word and from those that are elders in the body. Come on. Not just from Destiny Church. There's a big body of Christ out there. Amen. Christ being the head, we are the body. Amen. And so exposed some insecurities in my life. I begin to be insecure, just like King Saul, whose stature... it's tall. He's above all men built. Come on, handsome, good looking, strong, but insecure. Hiding at the calling. Come before the elders, hiding. Insecurity. Here's he's insecure again. So again, David went into the cave and he took his sword and cut a piece of his cloth as Saul was sleeping. And he just wanted to let Saul know, I have the ability to take your life, but I chose not to do it because I honor God. You're still king. Amen. That was a rabbit trail. We're back. Amen. Praise God. So the lie here is, compared to everyone else, grab this. You don't measure up. You're not enough. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You're not talented enough. You're not wealthy enough. What is this? This is insecurity. And here's what God is saying. Enough. Enough. Amen. One of the main reasons we struggle with insecurity, we're comparing our behind the scenes with everyone else's highlight reel. That's what we're doing. Social media today makes it even worse. Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat. You get everybody's highlight reels and highlight moments. And it goes, man, I'm not living that life. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to believe for that. I'm not in that place. And insecurity begins to come out of us. Instead of living content where we're at and seeking God for wisdom on how to grow to a higher level, we begin to think thoughts, well, I'm not good enough. I'm not wealthy enough. Come on. Do you hear what I'm saying? So it isn't true. Amen. Insecurity makes us wonder about these things. Our self-image. Come on. Well, I put on a little weight. Who cares? Amen. Our abilities, our future. Insecurity makes us wonder about and think about our past, our relationships. How about this one? Our walk with God. Come on, you're growing into things of God and you're feeling that insecurity. Come on, man, David. Man, they just love David more. Mm-mm. You know, Saul's sitting there thinking, does David want my job? You know, everyone's cheering for him. He's better. They think he's better than me. Come on, he is king. How quickly a thought can come to your soul. Come on, guys. And here's the truth. We must have confidence in what we can do through Christ Jesus, who strengthens us. We must have that confidence in what? Underline that word, what? Not comparing ourselves to others. Never be intimidated by the success of someone else. Celebrate, say this word, celebrate. Celebrate other people's success. Come on, when somebody buys something and builds something and saves for something and invests in something, celebrate with them. Man, I had a whole kitchen remodel I did, and I was with friends, and we talked, and we celebrated. There were some things talked about. We celebrated. I was with some family members here recently, and some great things happened. We celebrated. We talked about those things because I know, I've lived 41 years. You know what I've learned? Is behind the scenes, there was some warfare. Behind the scenes, there were some conversations. Behind the scenes, there was some insecurity and some thoughts that were dealt with. There were some things that were yielded to the plan of God. There were times where we felt like we were defeated. But get this statement. Failure is just a part of success. Come on, you have a failure? Keep going. Amen. So we must have confidence in what we can do through Christ. Come on, this is what Philippians says. I can do all things through what? Christ Jesus, who strengthens me. Amen. That's Philippians 4:13. Isaiah 54:17 in the Amplified says this. No weapon... Come on, you know where I'm going. No weapon that is formed against you will succeed. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. See, the thing about it is this peace, righteousness, security, and triumph over opposition is the heritage, it's the heritage. Say it again, it's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Are there any servants of the Lord in his house this morning? Come on, that's a weak woo. Give me some love. Is there any servants in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. And this is their vindication from me, says the Lord. Come on, you don't have to fight. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. But you don't know what they're saying against me. No, deal with those insecurities. Strengthen yourself in the Lord and allow people to say what they need to say because I see myself the way God sees me. I am crucified with Jesus Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen. Now, if we need to make adjustments, what are we going to do? We're going to make adjustments. If there's insecurities, if there's carnality, come on, the Apostle Paul in Corinthians addressed the believers in Corinth. There were some strict orders from heaven. Get over yourselves. Stop being carnal. Let me define for you what this Christian walk should look like. Amen. And then do that. Paul said, look after me, man. I'll model it for you. Amen. Philippians 1:6 says this. Am I certain that God who began a good work within me and within you will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. There's a work that's been started in every one of us. God wants to see this thing through with you. God don't want to do your plan, come on, with just him. He wants you involved. Come on, God don't want to do all the talking. He wants you to do some talking too. He wants to dialogue with you. Come on, God loves his people. He loves you and me. And I'm not talking about sloppy agape. I'm talking about the corrective kind of love at the same time that says, hey, God says on the inside, you hear that inward witness, that still small voice say, hey, don't do that. Don't talk like that. And you go, yeah, Lord, yeah. Thank you. What is he doing? He's helping you renew your mind to the new man, to who you are. Come on. In him. the way he thinks, the way he believes, come on, the way he does things. Amen. You're going to have times where you're going to want to go back. You're going to want to think thoughts and try to go toward the old coat, put on the old nature, but that's okay. Don't go there. Just yield to the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and make a decision that by faith, the Holy Spirit is my helper. He's my comforter. He's a paraclete. He's a teacher. He's going to help me. Amen. Hebrews 13:6 says this, so we can say with confidence, say that word confidence, louder, confidence. The Lord is my helper, so I will have what? No fear. What can a mere people or what can man do to me? What bills do you have unpaid? What can man do to me? Well, you don't know. Well, get the wisdom of God on stewardship. Quit being insecure. Let's not move like Saul. See, the thing is, he was king. He had a responsibility. Let's bring it down on a practical level. Well, I just don't have enough. Well, you serve a God that is more than enough. So if the supply is not there, it's not God. We need to get into the presence of the Father and the presence of the Word. Get the mind of Christ on your money, and he will tell you exactly how to increase because he's already done it. It's right here. Come on, sometimes we have such prosperity financially, and we can move into doing things our way, even though we're tithers, we're givers, and God's not, come on, checking us, but you're trying to start a new business endeavor, and God said, I know you did it that way, but that's not how I want you to do it this time. I want you to do it my way. And when he calls you to do that, he will pay for it. He will pay for the plan. He will pay for everything concerning that thing. Amen. He will. He will. And so I've seen people get insecure and be like, man, maybe I didn't hear from God. Yes, you heard from God. You just didn't do what he told you to do. Let me say it again. You heard from God. You just didn't do what he told you to do because your soul has not been renewed lately to the fact that I do things the way that he wants me to do them. And you say, well, I'm doing it according to the Bible. Yeah, there's specifics in here that you can stand upon. But see, you need more than just one piece to the puzzle. See, some puzzles are 500 pieces, some are 1,000. And how many know you get down to the last piece and it's vanished and you can't find it? It's pretty frustrating. But you know who can shed light on that missing piece of puzzle? The Holy Ghost. And he'll show you exactly what you need to do. He said, man, I've done my part, God. I've assembled this whole thing together. And come on, I built the church that you told me to build. And you manifested buildings to us and gave us things. And I had no money, no dime in my pocket to do anything. I just had faith. And Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Or have the God kind of faith that we have. Romans 12:3. See, I've got over insecurity. God, how are we going to do this? Amen. Amen. Jeremiah 17:7 says this, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Have made the Lord their hope and confidence. When we went through this thing with Alex in the hospital, we made the Lord our hope and our confidence. We made him. See, here's the challenge. If you knew there was zero chance of failure, what would you go and attempt to do in this life? Come on. If there was zero, let me say that word again. Z-E-R-O, zero chance of failure, what would you go and attempt to do right now? Would you start that business? Would you start that ministry training school? Would you travel? What would you do? Amen. What would you do? See, the thing is, point number three, battles we face, four key struggles. Number three, we are told we're inadequate. The lie, you're not good enough, you don't have what it takes, you are lacking the ability, so why try? You ever had that thought come to you? Come on, why try? Remember the angels in Judges 6:15, the angels appeared to Gideon. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. What was Gideon's response? Me? 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 You want to use me? That's paraphrase, that's Aaron's translation. Like, huh? Huh? Right, Doug? Huh? Huh? Inadequacy. Insecurity, inadequacy. The lie. You are not good enough. Gideon's response. Judges 6:15, but Lord Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the, say, weakest, and the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I am the least in my entire family. So we're weak. And then even in my weak family, let me just break it down for you this morning. In my weak family, I'm the weakest in the weak family. Boy, that sounds promising, doesn't it? Put that guy in charge of Israel. Let him lead the army. Woo! How many of you know that there were too many people excited? If people actually sat there and heard that, Israel being present, they probably wouldn't be that excited. This guy's like, I'm weak. I'm the weakest. What are we talking about? Inadequacy. See, we look at our past and our upbringing, our experiences, or our mistakes, and ask, how could God use me? That's the very people he loves to use. Because when you walk through stuff, you learn how to, man, that was a humbling experience. And God said, live right there. Live right there. Humility. Live right there. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the what? Humble. Come on. Remember he said, I must decrease, he must increase. Amen. What are we saying? The entire plan of Satan, the enemy, is to cause us to question ourselves. What has God said about our ability? What has God said? You think God's sitting there looking at your mistakes and going, yeah, I remember that, and I remember that. No, when you repent of them and get them under the blood, he says this. He said, I remember your sins no more. They're as far as the east is to the west. I don't remember them. I don't bring them up. I don't remind you of your failures. That's not what God does. That's what the enemy does. That's what Satan does. I don't care if you screwed up 5 minutes before you walked in this building and you got into worship and you say, woo, I'm better. God goes, amen. There's some what? There's some pride that has been removed. Pride is, I'm coming into the house of God and I got to feel bad. You know, I'm going to worship, but I got to feel bad when I leave because I know what I did before I came in. Who cares? Won't you just step on into the grace of God? Right. Amen.
Amen.
The grace. Let me say grace.
Grace.
The grace of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. Not by works. By grace are you saved through faith. It is the what? Free gift of God. What are you saying? Come on, man. There's a lot of works teaching out there, folks. Come on. I missed last Sunday. So what? I can't believe you said that, Pastor. So what? Well, I have to work. I feel guilty. Why? I have to leave early. We have a man who ushers this service, has been doing this for 2 years in our church, who comes and stays until about a quarter till and has to leave to go to work. I never, ever question. Or would I, as a minister, ever put upon that person, well, can you stay just 5 more minutes? You know what I know? See, a lot of times we're putting pressure on ourselves to perform. And then we put pressure on other people to perform. Mm-hmm. Because that's the way we live our life, is performance mentality. We need to have kingdom mentality.
Yep.
Kingdom mentality is grace. Kingdom mentality is the love of God, agape. Gideon, the entire plan of the enemy is to cause us to question ourselves. But see, God sees Christ in you. Boom, right there. God sees Christ in you. And the truth is, you are equipped. Hebrews 13, 20 through 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood, may he equip you with all you need for doing his will. Woo! May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that is pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. Whatever you are facing today, I want you to say this with me. God has equipped you and empowered you. Me and you, he's equipped us to deal with life issues and our inadequacies and these insecurities. Come on and come out on the other side and win. Say that word with me. Win. Say it again. Win. I want you to say this with me. We're making bold confessions of faith for a reason. Jesus Christ is the high priest of your confession. Come on, he's waiting on you as a son and daughter of God to say something about this. See, it's not you picking yourself apart. It's God helping you with your inner struggle of intimidation and insecurity. He's saying, I'm here to help you. I ain't here to pick on you. And you get bold because you know that's God speaking to you. And what do you begin to do? You begin to make this bold confession of faith. And God's saying, I'm ready for you to do that. Let's make some changes. Amen. I want to say this. God has equipped me and empowered me to what? Deal with it and win. Yeah. So God has equipped me to be a parent. I want parents in here to say this after me. Say this. God.
God.
Be bold. God
has equipped me.
To be a great parent. Come on. What are we doing? We're dealing with insecurities. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, God
has equipped
and empowered me
to have a blessed marriage.
Come on. God
has equipped
and empowered me
to face
problems
in life
and overcome.
And win.
Woo!
Amen.
Come on, yeah.
That's right.
Come on, I'm an overcomer. Revelations 12:11. Does that just not make you want to rise up on the inside?
Yes.
Come on, man.
Hallelujah.
That's the kind of stuff that makes you want to get up out of your chair.
Woo.
Yeah. Well, you don't know what the world, come on, you don't know it, my friend. Who cares? I love them. I don't have to respond to every word and every accusation. Number four, we struggle with intimidation. 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 3, I'm going to paraphrase the story. One day Samuel said to Saul, it was the Lord who told me to anoint you as king over his people, Israel. Now listen to the message of the Lord. This is what the Lord of the heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came to Egypt. Now go and completely destroy. Say this word, destroy. Destroy the entire Amalekite nation, men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. Is that pretty clear?
Yeah.
This is a command from God. What are we talking about? Intimidation. Mm-hmm. Saul, you're going to see here real quick. We're going to move. Saul got intimidated because he looked at the people instead of considering the things of God and the command of God. He got intimidated by the people's faces. It's real in context. We're pulling context. Go back and read 1 Samuel 15. Now, verses 8 and 9, we jump. We see that he captured Agag, the Amalekite king, but completely destroyed everyone else. What was the command of the Lord? What did he just say? Think about that. What did he say? See, verse 9 says that Saul and his men spared Agag's life. Listen to this. And kept the best of the sheep and goats, the cattle, the fat calves, and the lambs. Mm-hmm. What did God just tell them to do in the 15th chapter?
Everything.
Get it done. This is my command. But he said everything, in fact, that appealed to them. They destroyed only what was worthless or of poor quality. Verse 11, jumping down, this is what God said. I am sorry that I ever made Saul king, for he has not been loyal to me and has refused to obey my command. Mm-hmm. So again, here's the reminder from the prophet. He says this, Samuel says, in 1 Samuel 15:17, Samuel said to him, although you may think little of yourself, are you not the leader of the tribes of Israel? The Lord has anointed you king of Israel. Verse 18, and the Lord sent you on a mission and told you, go and completely destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, until they are all dead. Why haven't you obeyed the Lord? Why did you rush for plunder and do what was evil in the Lord's sight? Man, come on, guys. And here Saul defends that he did what he was asked to do. Saul's getting ready. We're going to read this and we're going to close out right here. Saul's defending. Here's Saul's reasoning, 1 Samuel 15, 24. Then Saul admitted to Samuel, yes, I have sinned. I have disobeyed your instructions and the Lord's command, for I was, listen to this, for I was afraid of the people, fear of man. Everybody say fear of man. Say it louder, fear of man. I was afraid of the people and what they demanded. So he was afraid at what they had demanded. So here's the lie. Intimidation causes us to conform, to bend, to alter our course of direction. This is what is called peer pressure. Peer pressure, guys. Saul fell under the pressure of the people. Peer pressure. He did what was right in the people's eyes instead of doing what God had told him to do. You don't fit in, you don't belong, you're not one of us. Come on. The pressure from other people. Amen. See, here's the truth. You are bold. God's called you to be bold, and he's called you to be what? Courageous. Say bold and courageous. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked run away when no one is chasing them, but the godly are as bold as lions. Come on. Amen. Intimidation, if you're taking notes, write this down. We're closed right here. Intimidation is a dependence upon yourself. Boldness comes from a dependence on God. Boldness comes from a dependence on God. Fear is surrendering God's plan for the inferior plan of the devil. God has not what? Given us a spirit of fear. Woo! But of what? Power, love, and a sound mind. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Confidence. Say the word confidence. Stand with me. We're closing. Confidence.